I'd like to begin by reading a passage in the book of Revelation. It's in the seventh chapter. I'm sorry, Brother Leslie. I'll do my best. I'd like to read a passage in the book of Revelation, just beginning here. It's in the seventh chapter. Beginning with the ninth verse, "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations, kindreds, and people, and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders, and the four beasts, and fell before the Lord, the throne on their faces, and worshiped God, saying, Amen, blessing, and glory, and wisdom, and thanksgiving, and honor, and power, and might, be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. Really what he was saying here is, I don't know, but you know. So, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." That is a time to come. We live in a time now where we're dealing with the effects of life, the events of life, the daily duties and responsibilities of life. We deal with pressures of life. We deal with the triumphs and the joys and the successes. We also deal with the grief, the heartache, the tribulations. We deal with those, all of those areas in life. So we're always looking to the day. We serve the Lord because we love Him, but we also serve Him because we have that anticipation that when this is over, even though this life, this Christian life, is a good life, and there's blessing in it, we feel the blessing of God, and then the times that the Lord comes by and pays a visit, we feel that, and we realize that that's a special privilege that God has paid to His child. And there are times when I feel like I'd like to just kind of crawl under the rug, because it's hard to stand in a presence that is that magnificence when the Lord comes by and pays a visit. We feel so weak and so frail. But there's coming a time whenever all of the distresses that we deal with now will be gone. We won't deal with that anymore. But my little message to you is, until then. All right? Until then. In the book of Galatians, read a few verses here, beginning, this is the fourth chapter, beginning with the fourth verse. "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." I've said this before. I don't know that I've said it here, but I wonder sometimes as I look in the Scriptures, I read my Bible, I read about the old patriarchs, I read about the different circumstances in their lives, and how I read the account to where they looked for a city. Abraham looked for that city that has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And concerning Noah, the Scripture says about him, he was an heir of righteousness through faith. And I sometimes in my own mind, maybe I ask too many questions. I'm a curious person. But maybe I ask too many questions, but I ask these questions to myself and to the Lord sometimes. And I, not in a way that I'm challenging, but just questions. Lord, I'm meditating, I'm thinking about, and I wonder sometimes, why did it take so many years for there to be a Christ that was born? Why? I know that God does all things well. I know that He had a purpose. I know we have the dispensations of time where we had the time where the Lord met with man directly, kind of face to face with Adam and Eve and those, and then Abraham, the time of faith and the prophecies, the power of God with Elijah and Elisha and all those prophets, and then the time of the preparation for the gospel, and now we have the gospel dispensation. I say the gospel dispensation is one of the greatest dispensations of time, and how the Lord has made available His Son to you and me, and we can have the benefit of God day by day in our lives. Now, those old patriarchs, those old saints back there, they had that too, but they didn't have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit to come in their lives. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son. When it was time, when it was ready. And why all that had to be, I'm not sure. I can't reckon all of those things. But I know that God determined that the fullness of time was come. I look at history. I see some of the events that were taking place at the time when Jesus came. And I can understand why that there was a definite need for a transition and for a Savior. And I see many of those same types of things happening in our land today. So I wonder what else is the next answer. But turn with me to the book of Ephesians now. Third chapter, seventh verse, the Apostle Paul says, "Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of His power. Unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." The unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Folks, can I tell you that we are living in a time, we're living in the until then time. We're living in a time now where we're dealing with this dispensation the Lord has given us that is the gospel dispensation. The questions that I have had of the Lord, the questions that I have asked many times in my private devotions, in my musings, in on the bed at night when I can't sleep, when I wake up during the night and I'm not able to sleep, and I think about these kinds of things, I ask the Lord about them, and I believe He's let me know that when the fullness of time was come, I sent my Son. Now, we're also dealing with a situation where the Scripture talks about there being a groaning. And the earth, the universe groans, and we groan. And it's not, it's a sigh. It's like the inner man is yearning for that deeper revelation and relationship with the Lord. I believe I said the other day in the message that the Holy Spirit is the highest revelation of the will of God to humanity. Because God is making effort to reveal Himself to us. So let's be encouraged and let's do our due diligence while we have this era of time, this space of time that we mark, and however long years may be, whether it's 70, 80, 90, 100 years or a shorter span than that, the Lord has blessed us with a wonderful opportunity because we live in the gospel dispensation. We live in the time where the Holy Spirit has come. We live in the time where the Lord has chosen. The Apostle Paul said that he was made a minister and he was given to the Gentiles to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. That doesn't mean that they are not to be searched. That doesn't mean that I am not to look into them. It only means that I am not capable of searching them to the complete end. Folks, I'll tell you what I have learned. When I think that I know God, when I think that I have studied, and I think I have wrestled, and I think I have prayed, and I have sought, and I think, oh, I have found God. I think I understand what God is or who God is. At that moment, and I feel that revelation from the Lord, and I feel a deep feeling inside of a blessing from the Lord, it only makes me realize how much I don't know about God. It's not that I'm disappointed. It's not anything that leaves you feeling like you've been shortchanged. It's a calling to keep looking for the more that's there. Because you realize that if I got this much, if the Lord came by and paid me a visit because I was searching for Him, that unsearchable riches, part of those riches I was able to see, part of those riches I was able to comprehend, part of those riches I was able to enjoy and really realize, then I realized that from that, there is so much more. There is more to look for. There's more to look to. So I'm encouraged by the knowledge that I gain to not stop there. I want to enjoy that. I want to really savor that moment. But it's also a challenge to continue digging for those more of those unsearchable riches of Christ. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God. Folks, the mystery that from the beginning of the world was hid, that God chose to withhold only to Himself, that mystery has been opened up to you and me. Do you realize, do we realize what it is that we have before us today? The mystery of God. Through Jesus Christ, His Son, what does the Word say? Because His name, Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us? Think of the depth of that blessing. Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. That's part of the mystery that was hid from the ages, but now is being revealed to you and me, part of the unsearchable riches of Christ. Those unsearchable riches aren't to stop me from trying to search, but I find that I'll never know it all. But the more that I learn, the more I want to learn. And the more I know, the more I want to know. And I find that even though my humanity has a veil between me and those the fullness of God, I still can get a portion. I can get my portion. You can get your portion. The Lord has a great mystery that He has opened up to all of humanity. When Jesus was born, when He came that day in that stable, and the wise men came to seek Him, the angels sang the glory song, the stars shone in the sky, the God's mission for mankind was being fulfilled, and you and I live in that dispensation of time where that plan of God for all of humanity is being fulfilled. To make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hid. Do we realize what an opportunity we have? For centuries, those things were hidden, but no longer are they. All right? It hath been hid in God who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Now turn with me to the book of Colossians for a moment. Chapter 1, beginning with verse 25. Again, the Apostle Paul, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to His saints. That mystery that was hid from the generations, from the ages, is now made manifest to His saints. Praise the Lord. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. That's me. That's you, every one of us. We were of that branch, Gentiles, that the Lord has said that this mystery that was hid, that the Lord has chosen, it's to be made manifest to His saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Oh, here's a word that too many times in our vernacular today is taken in the wrong way, and I understand why, but it's the word evolution. Evolution. This word evolution, in its purest form, means the act of unfolding or unrolling. A series of things unrolled or unfolded as the evolution of ages. Oh, folks, what a blessed time we live in today, where the Lord is able to come down and we evolve. We evolve as Christians in the Lord because He unrolls and unfolds before us in the events of life, in the circumstances of life, in places such as this. The Lord chooses to unveil a part of Himself to us and unroll and unfold. And as the evolution of the ages, I think sometimes the Lord will just, perhaps you can see it this way. Sometimes I feel like the Lord just rolls back that curtain just a little bit, rolls back the veil just a little, where we can see inside a little glimpse on the other side. But we're not capable in our humanity, we're not capable of being able to handle all of that realm, because it's too deep, it's too precious, it's too rich. It's not for this physical body. It's for the glorified body. But the Lord will unroll, if you will, a little bit. And let us see a little bit on the other side. And when we do, we realize, reveal. He'll reveal a little bit more of that world. We sang a song, I believe it was yesterday. For too well thy Father loves thee, knows thee, to allow thy life to be one long, calm, unbroken summer, one unruffled, stormless sea. He would have thee fondly nestle closer to His loving breast. He would have that world, not this world, folks, that world seem brighter, where alone is peace and rest. Here is trouble, heartache. We sing another song, change and decay, and all around I see. That's surely what we see around us. Look around you. We see that. But He would have that world. It's not that the Lord afflicts, allows there to be those things just to afflict, but He does it because He wants that world to seem brighter to us. He wants us not to be so settled about the things here. He wants us to realize that I'm just a stranger here. I'm just passing through. I'm just a pilgrim. I have here no continuing city. There's scripture here in the New Testament. I don't quite know just where it is at the moment, but it makes a reference to two words. This tabernacle we have in this tabernacle. And what is that scripture, Brother Leslie? Can you quote that for me? 2 Corinthians 5 and 1. We'll turn there. A tent. All right. 2 Corinthians 5 and 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tent, this tabernacle, were dissolved, we have a building of God. There's a big difference between those two words. That word tabernacle is something temporary, like this, folks. This is a pretty solid structure. It's old, but it's still pretty solid. But it's a tent. This old body that I inhabit, that you inhabit, I don't know. Take a little time and look in the mirror. You get a few years on you if you've been married a while and you've lived a few years of life. You look in the mirror and you see, oh my, look at the happy lines. That's what I call them, happy lines. They show up when I smile and grin real big. They're my happy lines. The gray hairs. I look at that and I look at my hands. Ooh, they're. I see the veins popping out. I bump my hands against things, and the skin's not as strong as it used to be. I'm only 52 years old. But I see that happening. This is just a tent. It's nothing but a tent. It's a temporary dwelling. That's all it is. So that's what this word tabernacle means. It's a tent, a hut, a temporary dwelling. But we have a building of God. This word building, if you look up in the Greek, this word building means architecture. Architecture, not an old brush arbor. Architecture, planning, preparation, ornate. The glorified body. The Lord has given us that opportunity. We have a building of God, Jesus said. In my Father's house are many mansions. We sometimes think of that as being structures that are there for us to inhabit. It's a building of God. That when we leave this world and this old tent is lagging in state, this old hut's laying there and you pass by, you say, I hope you say he sure was a good fellow. But there's nothing but a hut. And on the other side, it's a building. It has architecture. Because God has revealed and unfolded and unrolled himself and made available to us the mysteries of God, the unsearchable riches of God, where we can look into the deep things of God. And what he wants to reveal to us, he is willing to reveal to us. What he wants to withhold from us, he withholds from us. The scripture says the secret things belong to him. Book of John, the 8th chapter. John 8. John 8, verse 56. Jesus, having a little discussion with scribes and the Pharisees, he said to them, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then the Jews said unto him, you're not even 50 years old, and you've seen Abraham? Ha ha, yes. I'll tell you this. Before Abraham was, I am. I am the one that talked to Abraham about faith. I am the one that was willing to impart part of myself to Abraham. I am the one that made him an heir of righteousness. I am the one that saw his faith when he was called out to go into another country. And he didn't know where he was going. I am the one that said his faith was counted to him as righteousness. Before Abraham was, I am. Oh, folks, Jesus, while he was here, the time that he spent walking with his disciples, walking with the multitudes, feeding them, healing them. It was a plan of God that was unrolling and unfolding before their eyes. It was an evolution for mankind. And it's for you and me today. Let's be encouraged, saints of God, to move forward and search out the unsearchable riches of the Lord. What is there for us? He wants us to know. Oh, thank God. 1 Corinthians. First Corinthians, the 15th chapter. Oh, this is beautiful, folks. This is beautiful. This is part of the evolution of the Christian walk, the Christian faith in our lives. 54th verse. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and when this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Now, it's not always easy for us to be able to see all of that at that moment, because there's grief and there's heartache. But if we will allow ourselves to step back from the immediate situation, every time a child of God is called from this hut, this tent, to inhabit that building of God that he's created for them. It's a moment where there's intense emotion. I've been around the bedside of the dying and lost loved ones, and I have felt, when that last breath was taken, I felt, oh, where you don't know how to handle that moment. But in a little while, after you're able to step back and kind of gather your senses a little bit, you think of the scripture that says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Because that is the ultimate evolution and unrolling and unfolding of the will of God, to take his children to be in glory with him, to inhabit the building that he has prepared for them. That is the ultimate goal, folks. So when this corruptible puts on incorruption, and this mortal, these old wrinkled, vein-popping, happy wrinkles and gray hairs or no hairs or whatever it may be, when I look in that mirror and I see those things, when that is gone and I have what God really has for me, something far greater than what I can see just in looking in the mirror. Oh, thank you for your prayers. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. In the book of John, Jesus said these words to his disciples. We referenced this the other day. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Do you know, folks, whoever you are, wherever you are in your experience with the Lord today, I would invite you to seek the infilling of the Holy Spirit presence of God, because that is where these blessings dwell. This is where the highest revelation of the will of God, that's how we get it, through having the indwelling Spirit of God, him being willing to come down and inhabit this vessel. When Jesus said, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. He was talking to men who had not experienced the revelation of, the evolution of, the unrolling and the unfolding of the next phase of the will of God in salvation, and that was the Holy Spirit indwelling. But he said to you, howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. Can I say to you folks today, that guiding process is the evolution of the Christian experience. It's where God begins to unroll and unveil himself before us. And what a beautiful thing it is. And there are things that I know that God has visited you with that are almost too sacred to share with another man. Because when he came by and visited you about it, you felt it, but you realized to try to communicate that to someone else would almost be futile. Because it was a special, special blessing from the Lord, tailored for you. Tailored for the moment. Tailored for that hour. Tailored for that present distress. That's what it was destined to be. And the Lord saw that. So he came by and he paid you that visit. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. There's two words in the Greek, this word true and truth, it is aletheo alanthanos. Aletheo alanthanos means to be concealed, hidden. The A, the negative particle placed in front of that means not hidden, not concealed. That word truth comes from that word aletheo, alanthanos. Truth is something that is not covered up. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. For ages, the full will of God was concealed to humanity. It was lanthanos. It was letheo. But when Christ came, it became alanthanos, aletheo. It became truth revealed, the real will of God to all of humanity. Now, Book of Revelations again, 10th chapter, just about done here. Beginning with the 5th verse. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth, and the things that therein are, and the sea, and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the 7th angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished. I am reading Revelation 10, Brother Leslie. Revelation 10 and 7. The mystery of God should be finished. We're still living in a time where the mystery of God is being unfolded before humanity. I'm not talking about new light. I'm talking about revealed light. Things that God wants to reveal to you and to me. We're still living in that time. There is still somewhat of a mystery surrounding God, is there not? Do you understand everything there is to understand about God? I certainly do not. So we still live in a time where there is still the mystery is still before us. But when the mystery of God is finished, when it's all done, it's when we pack everything up and we lay these old bodies down and we make that journey and we get on the other side. And I, oh my, I think about that sometimes, and then I get in trouble thinking about that because my poor little feeble mind can't go very far with it. A glorified body. A glorified body. What's a glorified body? Stand in the presence of God. What will it be to be standing in the presence of God? We sing about it. We think about it. We talk about it. We get a little bit of the earnest of it here. But to really be able to understand all of the mystery of God, to stand in His presence. You see, as I said, we live now in a time where we're watching this. We're watching the calendar. Watch the sunrise and the sunset. We watch all of those things. And we're living in the time frame, we're in the until then time. But while we're here, folks, marking day in and day out, let's take advantage of the opportunity the Lord has given to us. What does the Scripture say? I believe it's in the book of Job. Why therefore should a living man complain, a man for the sins of his soul? That is referencing a man has, every day that a man has is an opportunity for him to do business with God. Every day that we have is an opportunity for us, me, you, to do business with Almighty God. Why therefore should a living man complain? I understand pain. I understand distress. But folks, the Lord wants us to be able, by the grace of God and His Spirit, to look above the things of this world to the things on the other shore. I appreciate your time and your attention. Thank you for your patience with me. God bless you.